Good evening, church. We're going to talk about integrity tonight. I heard somebody say one time to somebody, you don't have much integrity. And I got wondering what that might be. And what really triggered this sermon was I was watching a basketball game, NCAA basketball game tournament time. And it was two female teams that were playing, and it was in the semifinals. One was coached by a lady named Don Stela. The other was coached by a man by the name of Gino Auriemma. If you all follow women's sports at all, those two names are probably familiar to you. But anyway, as the game progressed along, Don continued on the refs. She was hollering at him, screaming at him. I don't know what kind of words she was using, probably not real nice ones. Gino did an interview on TV and accused her of all that. So at the end of the game, the two of them got in a shouting match. Gino claimed that she didn't meet him at half court before the game started. That was his reason for getting in the fight with her. But the whole reason was he got beat, and he couldn't take a defeat. But the further end of the story is she was being interviewed at the end of the ball game on national TV. And they're asking her about this. So she's going on about what happened, and then she goes, but I have integrity. And I'm thinking, you know, if she thinks she's got integrity, maybe we ought to talk about this, because there's more to integrity than just beating on your chest and saying, I've got it. So that's where this sermon kind of came from. It's one I've been looking at doing for quite a while, and the problem I had with it, when I took a dive into the Bible to see what God had to say about it, I couldn't use all the verses. There's verse after verse after verse on integrity and what it means. And as I put this together, I got to thinking about it. Probably, and I'm not going to say everybody, but probably most of us are a little short on integrity at times. It's something that, it's like anger issues. You have to work on it. Or patience, you have to work on it. And I think integrity is the same thing. And I think it can all be linked back to obedience. If we're obeying God's word, if we're doing what God wants us to say, if we're standing steadfast, I think this integrity factor becomes easier to maintain within our own lives. So as we look at this word integrity tonight, let's start off. The definition of integrity actually is pretty simple. By definition, out of the dictionary, it says integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that you refuse to change. That's the definition of integrity. Now, if you start unpeeling that like you would an onion, there's a lot in that definition. So that's what we're going to try to do tonight. And I don't want to start, because the definition starts with being honest. So let's start with living with honesty. How do we do that? How do we maintain that? How do we continue that? Living with honesty seems to be the cornerstone of integrity. As followers of Christ, we are called to be transparent in our dealings and to be truthful in our words. Honesty will build trust, both with God and with others and fellow Christian brothers and sisters. When we open our hearts and minds to that value of honesty, we can have relationships with others that will reflect God's love through us. It's important, as our words have the power to lift up people and to tear down people. Our honesty has the power to lift us up or tear us down, depending on which end of the spectrum you're on. Some verses here that I want to look at under this living with honesty. Proverbs 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Now think about that for a minute. If you're walking with the honesty and you're walking with strong moral principles and you're truly walking in integrity, you can walk pretty securely. Not only securely in your own life, but securely with the way God wants you to be. Then the end of that verse says, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. I think we can, most of us relate to that. Somewhere along the way, maybe we told a little white lie or something, caught up with us, and they found out. Or we weren't completely honest about what was going on. You know, my dad used to make jokes about people cheating on their income tax. That's not honest. And it's lying. And that, my friends, is not having good integrity. Psalms 25:21. It says, may integrity and uprightness preserve me. Will it take care of me? For I wait for you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me. For I wait for you. The coming of the Lord. Preserve me. Back to Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guides them. More integrity you have, the guidance in your walk with Christ, the stronger it will be. And then Proverbs, of course, at the end of that verse, the other second half of it, but the crookedness of the treacherous does what? It destroys them. Guides, lack of it, it'll destroy you. Kind of sounds like the same two choices that we have in life. We can either follow God or we can follow Satan. There's no in between. There's no gray area. We can either live with integrity or we can live without. God gave us the ability to make choices. We make those choices, and you certainly want to make the right ones. In Psalms 119:1, it says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the Lord. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless. It'd be tough. Now, I'm going to say it to me. I would hate to have somebody point their finger at me and find that I'm blameless on something that I've taught or that I've preached or the walk of life that I have. Where's the integrity in that? Blessed are they whose ways are blameless and those who walk according to the Lord. And then lastly in this little segment, Proverbs 12:22, this kind of gets to the heart of the matter of being honest. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. There again, you have two sides of the coin in a verse in Proverbs. You'll find out all the way through Proverbs. But the Lord detests those lying lips. We should detest it. It's easy to tell a little white lie. We talked about this in my last sermon, but you know, problem with telling a little white lie is pretty soon you got to tell another one to cover that one up, and then you're telling another one to cover up those two, and pretty soon you're going to be found out because you're going to end up in the muck. Somebody's going to find out the real truth and that you've been lying all along. So when Proverbs says the Lord detests lying lips, that's a strong statement. But he also delights in people who are trustworthy. So in this, as we look at this segment on living with honesty, we need commitment to living honestly. We need to make a commitment to that, that's what we're going to do. And sharing God's word in all the aspects of our lives. Sometimes I've caught myself doing it. I back away from a situation that was a teachable situation because I didn't feel like it was right. Well, you know what? God opened that door to teach someone right there, and I didn't walk through and do it. So who's right and who's wrong? We need commitment to living honestly and sharing God's word in all aspects of our lives, and especially by embracing the integrity that we're reading about here in the scriptures. Second segment I want to look at is stewardship and responsibility. A couple of big words. I learned them in college, by the way. Responsibility and stewardship. Being good stewards of what God has entrusted us with is another vital aspect of integrity. This includes our time, it includes our talents, and it includes our treasures. A lot of times when we talk about being good stewards of something, we talk about our finances or the money that God provides us with. But it also includes our time. What do we do with our time? How valuable do we set time in our own mind? How valuable is our time? Do you just fritter it away, or, you know, what's going on here? And then our talents. Stewardship with talents. A lot of us have a lot of talent that we never use. I look around this congregation, and there's things that people could be doing that they just back away from. I have no reason why. But there's talent there. And we've got to get out of this little box that we live in sometimes. Well, I only have the talent to do this one thing. That might be true. But you learn and you gain other talents by getting out of this little box and trying it. And we have a good congregation here. It's fortunate that we can open up a Sunday night service to someone that's not the regular preacher. Or we have classes where the preacher doesn't teach every class. We have individual talent that can do that. And we're fortunate here in that. And we're also fortunate in the fact that people will step up and do it. But there's some that have talent to do it that sit in the chairs. So the integrity, the good stewardship of our time and our talents and our treasures is vital. And when we take our responsibility seriously, we show a level of integrity that not only pleases God, but it also pleases our fellow Christian brothers and sisters. They see us. They see what's going on. And by being responsible, we not only honor God's gifts to us, but also we serve others with humility. We're not boisterous about it. And in doing so, we set an example for our families and others around us on how important it is to live with integrity in our stewardship. Luke 16:10 tells it as good as anybody. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And for a minute, I would just want to relate this to God's word. Can we be trusted with the entire word of God? Can we be entrusted to the point where we don't pull something out of context to prove a point that's not even valid? Can you be entrusted with that? Matthew 25 pretty much answers what is going on here. And it says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. He had faith in them that they could be trusted with much and that they would be honest with much. And Paul tells the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 4:2, he says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And that's a trust in God. Prove yourself faithful. That's us walking the light, walking the path that God set up for us to walk. That's the obedience that it takes for us to gain that home in heaven. It's required of those who have been given a trust that they prove faithful. Proverbs 27:23, be sure you know the condition of your flocks and give careful attention to the herds. This verse reminded me of elders, leaders of congregations as we have here with men. Be sure you know the condition of your flock. How is it? Is everybody being taught properly? Is everybody being taught the right thing? Do we have anybody that's trying to create a problem and false teach? Know the condition of your flock and give careful attention to it. They'll just walk away. And Paul tells Titus in Titus 2, 7 and 8, he says here, he says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. What better example can we set with people than to do good? In your teaching, show integrity, the word used here, seriousness, and soundness of speech. That's in teaching others. This was instruction to Titus. If you remember, Titus was placed in Crete to establish elderships and deacons by Paul. Young man trying to work with elder men, older men that were qualified and able to be elders and deacons, and he's given him this advice. He said, by them, you set the example. You do what is good so the others have an example. In your teaching, you show the integrity that you're supposed to have. Be serious and be sound of speech. Good instruction for all of us. This just happened to be to Titus. These verses that we looked at here show how our responsibility reflects our commitment to uphold integrity in every role that we play. The third I want to look at is faithfulness in relationships. Integrity shines brightly in our relationships. And I think you can relate to that. You look with someone, and as we talk about this word integrity, you start to see a little more full meaning what this means. We, maybe subconsciously, look to be with people with high integrity. We want to be able to trust them. We want to be able to be honest with them and they be honest with us. So I think subconsciously sometimes we look, even though we don't have it in our mind, we look for people with integrity. So integrity shines brightly in those relationships. And it doesn't matter whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's colleagues, or it's being faithful to our commitments. It creates a foundation of trust and respect. Now, where are we going to get in this world if we don't have trust from people and we don't have any respect? Be like the thief in the night. You'd be out on the street trying to find somebody that cares. But if you don't have any integrity and you don't have any trust and you don't have any respect, how do you think you're going to get along with people? Faithfulness reflects God's character, and it will demonstrate our commitment to not only being loyal, but also being reliable. You know, psychologists tell us that as we walk through life, if we have one true friend, then we're more fortunate than most people. Just one. And stop and look in your own lives. Do we have that one true friend that will be there forever? I would hope so. But not everybody does. As we cultivate integrity in relationships, we also encourage others to join us. People will like that. And especially on our journey of faith, if we show the loyalty and the reliability. Proverbs 17:17. I chose this because I like what it said. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for a time of adversity. That friend is for you, is there for you in every turn of your life, every adversity and every good thing. But a friend loves at all times. There's no limit to the friendship. Paul tells the people in Colossae a way to do this. First of all, he said, don't lie to each other. Okay, that's pretty simple, right? And then he goes back in and talks about their baptism. He said, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. So be that loyal person. Be that reliable person. Be that honest person. Don't lie to each other. That's pretty simple instruction. We had this in class this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Encourage one another and build one another up. Paul had gotten a report back from Timothy where everything was pretty good in a church in Thessalonica, and he ended that verse with saying, just as you are doing. That's us. Encourage one another. Build everybody up. Doesn't cost a dime to pat somebody on the back, to give them a hug. It doesn't cost a dime. But continue it just as we are doing. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, Paul tells the church in Ephesus, he said, be completely humble. Ooh. Be completely humble. Yeah, Bruce, me too. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. You're looking at this, come on, Paul. You're getting a little out of bounds here. Be humble, be gentle, be patient. Bear with one another. And you do all that in love. And then you make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What's the unity of the Spirit? That's all of us being on the same page with God's Word. Be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing one with one another in love, and then make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Keep the unity of the Spirit through what? The bond of peace. Not turmoil. Proverbs 20 and 6 says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love. Boastful about it. But a faithful man, who can find? You don't know who that guy is because he doesn't boast about it. This segment, these verses show how we can grow, how we can mature, and how our faithfulness grows and God's love grows in our relationships. And lastly, I want to look at choosing righteousness. Integrity and righteousness. The reason we choose righteousness. Choosing righteousness is a daily act of integrity. Think about that for a minute. When you choose to walk righteous, you have to do it 24/7. It's a daily act of integrity. It's a daily act of being honest. It's a daily act of having strong moral about yourself. We constantly are faced with decisions that test our moral principles. I go back just to the example of the people who cheat on income tax. That's a moral principle. And such choices shape our character, and they show our commitment to honoring God. And when we choose the right path, I know sometimes even when it's difficult, not always easy to walk that right path. Even when it's difficult, at that point we still draw closer to God and we demonstrate integrity in our lives. Proverbs 21:21, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. Romans 12:2, Paul tells the church in Rome, do not, this is a command, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Okay. If we're choosing righteousness as a daily act of integrity, we shouldn't be involved with the pattern of the world. We shouldn't be involved with people who don't believe in God. Yes, we have to be involved a little bit so we have opportunity to teach. But the involvement here is a total involvement with. Do not conform to the pattern of the world. But then he says, but, Paul's good at that, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get the garbage out of there. We talked about this class this morning again. You remember when we first had computers, it was G-I-G-O? Anybody remember what that means? Garbage in, garbage out? Well, our minds are our computer. If you're going to put garbage in there, garbage is going to come out. And in our daily lives, if you're not going to walk with God and you're going to walk with garbage, so to speak, that's what's going to happen. We can't draw closer to God if we don't choose righteousness as a daily act of integrity. It just doesn't work that way. Isaiah 33, 15 and 16. He who walks righteously, first step, and speaks uprightly, second step, who despises the gain of oppression, third step, who shakes his hands lest they hold a bribe, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly will despise all that. Second Timothy 2:19. But God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. That's Paul's instruction to Timothy. Now bear in mind, Timothy's there in Ephesus to put elders and deacons in the church. And that's where this comes from. God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must do what? Turn away from wickedness. And if you all studied Ephesus and Crete and Corinth, they're all pretty rough towns. We think Vegas is rough, but those towns might have had us beat as far as sinfulness and what was going on. And, you know, just a little side thing here. Can you imagine the young man, Timothy, was probably 32, 33 years old when Paul put him in Ephesus. Can you imagine him going into this town with all the corruption that's there, trying to find elders for the church? It'd be like saying, ah, Paul, I'm not doing that. But he did. Same as he did when Paul sent him to Thessalonica when he was about 21, 22 years old. Sent this young man to Thessalonica to see if there was any problems. I ask in class, what do you think would have happened if he'd have found problems? He would have solved them. I've been in congregations where we got young men, 22, 23, 24, 25 years old, that won't even give a prayer. And here's Timothy out on the road, maybe solving problems. Here he is in Crete, expected to put elders in the worship service, in the church. A good example for our young men. And then the last verse is in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. That's an all-inclusive word. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us throw off everything. It's essential for us to seek God's guidance when making decisions. A lot of us think we do things on our own. I'm one of those that used to think that way. Well, I get her done. But I found it came a lot easier when I prayed and talked to God and kind of let him work his way and open doors. And you know, there's still tendencies to want to do things on my own. That's human nature. But don't let that become an excuse not to let God guide you. It is essential to seek God's guidance when making decisions, as he alone knows the path that's best for us. We don't know the best path. We think we do. But it's God, the one. He's the one that's got the master plan. The pursuit of righteousness influences our integrity every day. So I ask the question back again, how much integrity do we have as an individual? Do we now understand a little better what integrity actually means? I would hope so, especially scripturally. live with honesty, have good stewardship and responsibility, be faithful in our relationships, especially our relationship with God, and choose righteousness over everything else. That's the lesson for you tonight. We always open up an invitation for those that might need to put their Lord on in baptism. The water is ready. We're ready. I don't know that there's anybody in here that has not been baptized. There might be online. If that need is now, now is the day. Now is the time to put your Lord on a baptism. You can't procrastinate it. What if something happens to you tomorrow and you're not in a safe situation? That'd be tragic. And a lot of people say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. If you're thinking that way, you better get it done today. We also have available prayers for you. And I always mention this because it's truthful. If you've got issues in your life and we don't know about them, we can't pray for them. So if you've got something going on, let us know. Let this congregation pray for you. If you need to be stronger with your walk, let us know. That's the invitation as we stand and sing the invitation song.